Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
And praise you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that it is powerful and it can encourage us and it can challenge us. And Lord, we pray that as we look together tonight at a section of it, Lord God, that you would speak to each of us and reveal your will and your heart for our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. So I wonder what songs carry memories for you. Is there a song that always takes you back to a certain time or place? Do you have a song that reminds you of a significant relationship? Is there a song that always brings a tear to your eye as you remember a loved one? Songs are powerful and emotive, and they stir up memories within us. And that's why people use them to celebrate. Think about it. We use songs for birthdays. We use songs at weddings and at funerals. We use songs at different times of the year. I'm sure we've all got our favourite Easter hymn or Christmas carol. And interestingly enough, music and song is something that is universal around the world. Every culture in the world uses music and songs to celebrate. And it was no different for the Hebrew nation. The book of Psalms in the Bible is the Jewish songbook and contains many different types of songs. In fact, it contains many different collections of types of songs as well. And there is a group of psalms that is called the Hallel, which means, as we will go on to think about in a minute, means to praise joyously. So Psalms 113 to 118 are the Egyptian Hallel. Psalms 120 to 134 are known as the Great Hallel, and Psalms 146 to 150 are simply the Hallel. But essentially, these 26 psalms within the book of Psalms are a collection, and that collection is essentially the Jewish praise collection. They were the songs they used when they were celebrating. The likes of Passover, Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles, as well as each of the new moon celebrations. These were the songs and hymns that were sung. And it was the Egyptian Hallel which was sung at the Passover. So it would have been one of these psalms that Jesus and his disciples sung on the night he was betrayed before they went out to the Mount of Olives. Mark 14 says they sung a hymn together and then they went out. It would have been one of these songs from Psalms 113 to 118. So when else do we sing songs? Well, I'd like to suggest in Aussie culture, one of the times that we hear lots of singing and lots of songs is in and around sport. Often you will hear the crowd in the stands either lifting up their team or pulling down the opposition through song. You will hear the players themselves at the end of a game sing the song of victory if their team has won it. They will gather together, they will get in the circle, they will get in the huddle, and they'll sing the team song to celebrate. But there's another type of song that's often sung at sporting events too. The national anthem. And national anthems range in quality, both musically and lyrically, and it pains me, although we have a couple of Kiwis amongst us, to actually say, because it often comes with an all-black victory, sadly enough, the words of the New Zealand national anthem are actually some of the best in the world if you want to look at a really good lyrical national anthem. But regardless of the quality of lyrics and the musical arrangement, There's one thing that national anthems have in common. They're meant to bring the nation together. They're meant to be about nationalistic pride. They're sung arm in arm at the beginning of the game because that's what those players are representing. They're representing their nation. They're full of nationalistic pride. For the Jews, the Passover celebration was a time to get nationalistic. It was a festival that celebrated God rescuing his people Israel, out of Egypt. And you would therefore think that the songs that were sung by the Jews at Passover, those contained in the Egyptian Hallel, must surely be nationalistic in sentiment, mustn't they? Well, some are. Psalm 114, for example, is all about God rescuing his people from Israel. Psalm 115 contains these lines: the Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. But interestingly, not all the Psalms in this collection are like this. In fact, Psalm 117, as we will see in the next few moments, is radically different. It's not nationalistic in sentiment at all. Psalm 117 is the shortest psalm in the whole of the book of Psalms. It's only 2 verses long, but it is a powerful couple of verses. Charles Spurgeon wrote about this psalm that although it is little in letter, it is exceedingly large in spirit. And Martin Luther managed to write a whole 36-page commentary on the 2 verses. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 117 and we will read it together. It will appear on the screen as well. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. The psalm starts simply with the word praise, which, as we've already said, in Hebrew is the word halal and means to joyously praise, or to praise joyously. Halal actually is the first part of the word hallelujah, which we have adopted from the Hebrew language into English. And hallelujah itself is actually a compound word. It's two words that are put together. The first part is the halal, to praise joyously. And the second part is the shortened form of the unspoken intimate name of God, Yahweh. That's what the Yah, hallelujah, is about. So that word basically means to joyously praise God. Now, that's the literal construction, so to speak, of the word. The word has its own meaning. And the meaning of the word hallelujah is best described as to shine. So that is why in our Christian mindset, we often think of hallelujah in terms of glorifying God, because it actually means to shine. So in our English Bible, Psalm 117 starts with the phrase, praise the Lord. But I think a better understanding of this praise would be shine to the Lord. Think about that for a moment. What an amazing image that is. Shine to the Lord. Now, we probably don't think of worship in this way, but how much more powerful would it be if we, when we sing our songs and when we praise the Lord, we think of ourselves as shining, essentially shining glory to him, but shining towards him in joyous praise. Amazingly, that is what this psalm is describing. Imagine, therefore, worship from God's perspective. These first few words of Psalm 117 are inviting God's redeemed people to come together in unity and in love and shine to him in praise. It's also interesting to note the tone of the phrase here too. It's not simply an invitation in the form of a suggestion, but it's a command, it's an instruction, it's a call to action. Now, it's important to note who is being invited. We will look at that in a moment, but as so often with the Psalms, Psalm 117 is written in couplets or parallelisms, which means that the second line essentially mirrors the first line. So we want to look at the start of the second line before we look at the end of both of those lines, if that makes sense. So then what does the second line start with? The second line starts with the words, extol him. So what does the word extol mean? I had to look it up. I had to Google it because I wasn't sure myself. And actually, Google defines it as to praise enthusiastically, which is another really interesting phrase and gives the impression of loudness and brashness, which is actually quite helpful. Now, shebeku, which is the Hebrew word that starts this second line, means to triumph or to loudly adore. And in many ways, the image that is painted is that of boasting. Boasting is not something that is done in private. Boasting is something that is done in a very public way. Someone who triumphs at something wants to let everybody know that they've been successful. Think again about that winning team singing the victory song. They don't sing it quietly in the corner, but they sing it loudly and with pride. Think about the AFL. When your team wins, what happens? The cameras follow the team into the dressing room so the team can sing the song, and that song can be broadcast to everyone who's tuning in and watching on TV. Think about the cricket, the Big Bash. Next week is the final. And when that happens, a trophy will be presented. And then there'll be confetti cannons, there'll be loud music, there'll be fireworks, there'll be a lot of cheering and smiling and celebration. Boasting and triumphing is not something you do in the corner, in quiet, in the private, but it's something that's done in a very public way. And here, Psalm 117 is calling on us to triumph in the Lord in a public and celebratory way. But it's the end of these first two lines, which is why this psalm is so amazing and so striking. As we said before, the Egyptian halal, these songs were sung at the Passover when the Jews wanted to be really nationalistic. But Psalm 117 is about all nations and all peoples. It's all nations, it's all peoples who are instructed to sign to God and triumph in him. Now, those of you that know the Psalms may be thinking, well, that's not so unusual amongst the Psalms. Think of Psalm 67, Psalm 96, Psalm 100, for example. Don't they all speak of the nations worshipping God? Well, let's have a quick look at each one. Psalm 67, verses 3 and 4. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. Psalm 96, 3 and 4. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Psalm 100, 1 and 2. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord in gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. At first appearance, there's no real difference between Psalm 117 and these Psalms. And that's because the distinction itself is quite subtle. Psalm 67 is a prayer and a request on behalf of the nations to praise the Lord. Psalm 96 is a command and an instruction to Israel to go to the nations and declare God's goodness. Psalm 100 is broad and non-specific in its call for all the earth to worship the Lord. It's Psalm 117 and Psalm 117 alone in the whole of the Psalter, which instructs and gives a command inviting individual nations, individual peoples, individual ethnicities to shine to God and triumph in the Lord. He may not have realized it himself, but through the Holy Spirit, the psalmist did something very significant through Psalm 117. In referencing nations in the first line, we must realize that the psalmist was not talking about our geopolitical nations we have in the world today. There's about 200 of those. No, he was, in the way he echoes it in the second line, he was talking about peoples. He was talking about tribes and languages, distinct ethnic groups. Just take India as an example. It's one nation of about 1.4 billion people. But there's Tamil speakers and Punjab speakers and Gujarat speakers, and goes on and on. The Joshua Project reckons there's about 2,400 distinct groups in India alone. They would say that depending on the criteria you use, it's somewhere in the region of 10,000 to 17,000 groups throughout the whole world. And that's this invitation to each one of those groups to come and to shine to God and to triumph in the Lord. Every group on earth, your group and mine included, but also your neighbours, our neighbours' groups, our friends' groups, our work colleagues' groups. In fact, everyone we know, each one of them comes from an ethnic group. Each one of them comes from a tribe, a language, a nation, a people. In verse 2, the psalmist goes on to explain why all the peoples of the earth should shine to God and triumph in the Lord. Shining and triumphing are pictures full of joy and pleasure. And although Psalm 119 instructed and commanded these things, neither of them were to be done out of duty. They were to be done out of a place of love and adoration. Think about the relationships in your life. Who is it that you overflow with love for? Maybe it's a spouse or your children or your parents. What do you do for them? Will you tell them that you love them? You look after them by caring for them. You give them gifts. You shine with love for them. Now you can be instructed to do that, but you don't need to be because you already do it. And it's the same with God. We are instructed to love him, but we should already be doing that, showing him that we love him by shining to him and triumphing in him. As Psalm 117 says, we should shine to God and triumph in him because of the greatness of his love and his enduring faithfulness. Psalm 117, along with the other Egyptian halal, were often sung at the Jewish festivals, as we've said. These were times when the Jews celebrated things like God's faithfulness in the harvest, God's faithfulness to the Israelites in the wilderness, and of course, at the Passover festival, God's rescue from slavery in Egypt. God had proved his faithfulness in the past, and so the psalmist could boldly write that God would be faithful in the future too. In fact, God would be faithful forever. Interestingly, it's a better translation of the word great here in the first line of verse 2 would be the word prevailed or overcome. So the line might actually read, for his steadfast love has overcome. And faithfulness goes hand in hand with trustworthiness. which is why John Goldengay translates this whole verse in his translation of the Bible. Because his commitment has been strong over us and God's truthfulness is forever. Is that not the gospel? Jesus has overcome. He was committed to us even to the point of death. And this is a truth that will last forever. Christ came to a broken world, a world of sin, a world of shame, and he took all that upon himself. On the cross, he atoned once and for all and washed away all of our sin. So that the beautiful picture Isaiah 53 paints could come true. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. For the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all like sheep had gone astray. Each of us had turned to our own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the great love and commitment God has for all the people in the world. It's steadfast, it's faithful, and it's true. The Israelites knew salvation from Egypt at God's hand, and they remembered it each year at the Passover festival. But also at that festival, they sung about God's faithfulness and how God's salvation was for all peoples and all nations. And that is why Paul was able to quote from this psalm in Romans 15. He was writing to the church in Rome, making it clear to them that Jesus died for both Jew and Gentile, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Psalm 117 concludes with a declaration to praise the Lord. Concludes with a hallelujah. And in response to the faithfulness of God, what else is there to say except hallelujah? God be joyously praised. God is faithful in his overcoming commitment and love, and therefore he deserves all the praise and all the glory that we can offer. This is and should be the true response of our hearts and of the hearts of all nations around the world. Together we should gather as one to praise and glorify the Lord. Psalm 117 is only a short psalm, but it's one that takes us on a journey from the Jews at the Passover to the throne of God in Revelation 7, where there are people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation worshipping the Lamb. It's not just a call for each of us to praise God, but it's a call for all nations, all peoples, to shine to God and triumph in him. But how will they do this? How will the vision of Revelation be fulfilled if we don't carry the message of Jesus in our lives? Each one of us has a choice to make as we live out our lives this week. The first is whether we're going to heed the command laid out before us in Psalm 117. Are you going to shine to God and triumph in the Lord? Are you willing to boast in Jesus publicly? When at the gym, when picking the kids up, when sitting at your desk at work, when riding on the bus? And then secondly, are you going to heed the challenge of Psalm 117 by sharing the love and faithfulness of a God who wants a relationship with all people, with those that you know that don't know him? Again, down the gym, whilst picking the kids up, when at work, or when on the bus. Are you going to introduce others to Jesus so that they too, whoever they are and whatever their ethnicity, can shine to God and triumph in the Lord? Then what about those outside your social circles? How can you play your part in sharing your faith with those in other parts of this state, in other parts of this country, in other parts of the world. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your commitment to us, and that, Lord, you have overcome. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that that brings us, for the joy that that brings us. And Lord, we pray that we would live our lives in a way that would shine to you and triumph in you. And that, Lord, we would boldly let all those that we meet, both near and far, hear that message and know about you. We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.